Therefore, let us be grateful receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that, thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In all our conversations this Pentecost season, it has been striking to notice the differences that occur when our Lord crosses the lives of his people from his baptism in scriptures, his forgiveness in Eucharist. The differences are there because the world's life is dominated and driven by the unholy trio of sin, Satan, and death. And because the Son has rescued people from that trio through his crucifixion and resurrection. Well, those differences come wheeling at us again tonight through this gospel. While the passage drives to the healing of a crippled woman and the lambasting of a synagogue's leader, we should notice its setting in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. And remember that in today's weeks, Sabbath is Saturday. The synagogue was used for prayer by Jewish people along with their instruction. The structure of its services included an invocation, a creed, prayers, blessing, readings from the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, a homily, psalms, and praise. At the center of the structure was a reading from the Old Testament scriptures. That reading was followed by its unpacking and applying to the lives of those gathered to worship. On a daily basis, the gathering times in the synagogues were morning, afternoon, and evening. This enables you and me to see the patterns that emerge in the church's life following the Son's ascension. The service on the morning of the Sabbath day, however, was an expansion of the daily service. So faithful Jews, like the Lord's faithful people today, made their way to these gatherings every Saturday. Now, each synagogue had a person who was responsible for the worship, the instruction, and the administration that went on in that place. Most likely, he was not ordained in the way that we understand the church's ministry today, but he was well trained in the Jewish traditions and was respected for maintaining them. With this background in mind, Luke tells us that Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Since the human condition does not change from one generation to the next, most likely our Lord made his way to that gathering while well-known people were dying and being buried, or terrorists were disrupting the life of the country. Remember that Roman soldiers and politicians occupied that country. Or family relationships were being twisted and torn by the pressures of living in the world. As our Lord made his way to that synagogue gathering, he knew the purpose of Sabbath worship. First, it imitated the day of rest established by the world's creator. And second, it remembered the rescue of the Lord's people from their slavery in Egypt. In this gathering, Jesus encounters a woman who's been bent over with a crippling disease for 18 years. Coming into contact with her and laying his hands on her, he announces that she has been being set free from her ailment. Her back is immediately straightened, and she praises the Lord God. The reaction is quite different, however, from the synagogue leader. He is indignant and reminds others who are gathering there that there are 6 days for work. He points out that the curing work should be done then on one of those 6 days, not on the Sabbath. He is the keeper of the tradition, the detailed 39 activities that were not allowed on the Sabbath. This tradition was established after the Babylonian exile and was designed to prevent another exile from occurring. Because after they returned from Babylon, the Lord's people recognized the exile had been dumped on them because they persisted in ignoring the Lord and pursuing their own gods. Because of that unfaithfulness, the Lord's people then established guidelines such as forbidding these 39 activities on the Sabbath so they could demonstrate to the Lord that they were being faithful and thus keep his anger from burning up their lives. What happened, though, is that they got so obsessed with the 39 rules, they forgot the purpose of the Sabbath gathering. So the synagogue leader reflects this well as he chastises our Lord. Jesus, though, who has not forgotten the purpose of the Sabbath, turns harshly on the leader and points out how ludicrous these 39 articles are. For example, they allow for animals to be given water, but they do not allow for an afflicted person to be healed. In making this point, he shames his critics, and the entire crowd of worshipers rejoice at the wonderful things our Lord is doing. So what do you and I make of this story for our lives today? While people are still muttering about their political leaders, the hatred between groups of people still runs deep. People still pursue their pleasures, even if they are destructive. Here and there, however, the Lord's faithful people make their way to gather in his presence on a weekly basis. They desire to have his life crossing theirs, and they recognize they cannot really live apart from him. This is a huge help for you and me as this passage makes its way into our lives tonight. For we may be inclined to complain, especially if our afflictions are numerous, that we don't have the same contact with our Lord as this woman did. Or we may be inclined to delight in our Lord's pasting of the synagogue leaders, proud that we are much more enlightened than he, and confident that we would never fall into his way of thinking. Since the human condition does not change from one generation to the next, the world's life is throwing the same things at us now as it did back then, as we make our way to the weekly gatherings of the Lord's people. Because these gatherings are rooted in our Lord's scriptures and sacraments, we are continually graced with a vital and real exposure to his crucified and resurrected life. As his life churns in on and connects with our own, we realize that the crippling of this woman reaches beyond the physical. Although he did not show it as he did, the synagogue leader was just as crippled, a crippling that was displayed in his attitude. Jesus noted that there was a spirit that had thrown this woman into her condition. Although that spirit has been crushed by the sun's dying and rising, it still flexes the life it has left, a flexing that is both destructive and deadly. This spirit is determined to bring every person in this world down with them, crippling them as severely as it can. Such crippling, created and maintained by the unholy trio of sin, Satan, and death, is seen most clearly in our natural self-centeredness. When you and I consider all the stuff being thrown at us by the world's life, it is obvious that all of it is undergirded by this natural drive for ourselves. This is what twists family relationships or spurs us to the gods of our making, or makes us expert in political matters, or causes us to do ignorant things, or hammers other people, or brings people to death. The world tries to rework this natural drive for ourselves. It tells you and me that it is necessary so that we can survive and be successful in our work. The world also whispers that if we get too carried away with it, we have the power to throttle it back. My friends, the world is attracting and destroying us with such masking. There is only one person who can rescue us from this natural driving for ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who died and rose for the world's people. He is the one who splashes people with the waters of his baptism, giving them a life totally different from the life given them at birth, and smashing the powers of the unholy trio. The differences are striking as he holds you and me together in our dealings with so many afflictions, as he frees us from the crippling of our natural self-absorption, as he shatters the world's way of thinking and doing. These are the differences, then, that occur when the Lord God crosses the lives of his people from his baptism and the scriptures, from his forgiveness and the Eucharist. May those crossings continue to dominate and undergird the life that you and I are privileged to have in him. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.